That is what we are offering today, free technical advice. If you have an issue with anything gadget related in your life, Fevzy can make it all better, promise. You can call 03 459 570 057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Now, there might still be a lot of people trying to get to grips with new technology that perhaps they were given as gifts over Christmas. Now, what does somebody buy the Gadget Detective for a Christmas present? Were you inundated with technological gifts?
No, people are afraid to buy me anything like that.
I bet.
For understandable reasons. So we either go through, what would you like? Mm. Or here's some money.
Right.
Which is,
I'd always go with the latter, me.
Well, it's the best gift token there is, quite frankly.
Just give me the cash.
And I'll let you know what I got with it. You know, so.
Well, perhaps you'll be buying a Bluetooth speaker. That is your gadget of the week.
Yeah, and
today.
There are so many of these. So these are portable, usually stereo speakers that can be connected wirelessly to a device like a smartphone or a tablet.
Now, I bought one of these myself not that long ago, and I'm not that kind of, you know, into gadgets, but this is brilliant.
Yeah, so you got one of these particular ones?
No, not this particular one. A different one.
Well, the thing is, some of them are pretty well much of a muchness, and you can't really tell much by the specifications. You know, I mean, specs at best tell you half the story and probably not even quite that much. So this one is by a company called Kitsound. It's called the Hive Evolution, and it's a portable stereo speaker, which is about, actually, I'll put it here, let's see what's that. That's about 8 inches across and about 2 inches high. So small. It's sort of elliptical in shape. They describe it as a monocoque design, which is, I had to look up what monocoque means.
Oh, what design? A monocoque?
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
It's a new word on me, yeah, that.
Not spelt as you might think.
Right.
Spelt the French way.
Goodness,
yes,
for that.
It's a French. it describes the sort of the structures that you get in aircraft and aircraft wings, where all the strength is on the outside, a bit like an egg, you know, the eggshell design. Okay. So imagine it's a bit like an egg shape, but actually it's more of an ellipse. And it's a stereo speaker pair. You can connect to it via Bluetooth, but you can also connect via a wire, which is, I think, is quite nice still to have that option as well.
Old school, Fevzy.
You know what? It's interesting. I'll tell you something about Bluetooth. Okay, not all Bluetooth is the same. Okay, there are different ways of encoding the sound via Bluetooth, and the most advanced of those currently available is something called aptX, APTX, which you might know that from ISDN codecs. You know, the way radio, the way that I'm speaking to
Have
you now.
Have you forgotten who you're talking to?
No, but listen.
I'm technically inept.
The way that I'm speaking to you now, the way that my voice is compressed to send it along a digital line and sound like I'm sitting in your lap, is using this aptX codec. And this device, unlike many others, supports that. So if your phone is capable of sending the sound using that codec, that aptX, then you're going to get a much better quality sound. And the only way to equal that quality of sound is to use a wire. And that's why I'm old school, because actually old school wires, they don't have to compress the sound. They can just send the full sound down there. You don't have to, you know, squidge it into little packets. So this supports aptX. That's a big deal. The sound quality is tremendous. I don't know if I can actually...
Oh, yeah, play.
Let's
play
see
it.
If I can
play
do
something
this.
On
okay,
it.
Let's see if it's still...
We get an insight now into Fevzy's musical tastes.
And this is on setting number 2, and I'm trying not to take it too loud because I'm watching the levels. In this
context, so how many settings has it got?
Well, no, it is the volume is set by the device that's feeding it. So I'm feeding that from an iPhone via Bluetooth, and it goes up very loud. So put it this way, even though this device is about 8 inches across, it will comfortably fill a room full of sound. It will comfortably be the speaker you take out in the garden or to a picnic or so forth. Or even, actually, it sounds good in the car, you know, the way the... It's got these stereo speakers, but it's got the two bass radiators as well. So the bass sound is very strong. You look at it and actually you can't believe that quality and depth of sound is coming out of a device that small.
Brilliant.
The physical construction of the device... It's metal. It's really well built. It's solid and it's quite heavy. It's deceptively heavy. When you pick it up, you think, oh, what's that? If you have an Android smartphone that supports a technology called NFC, it means that you can pair the devices, join them together wirelessly with a simple tap. You know, like the way you pay for something contactless, you can tap your smartphone on the device and it knows then to pick up the music from that
Are you
particular phone.
kidding me?
No,
That's a
it's really
bit
good.
clever.
And you know the irony of all of this, and on this day, which is the 10th anniversary of the announcement of the iPhone, is that the iPhone doesn't support haptics and it doesn't support NFC. And if you want those features, you need to go to Android or another brand. So in a way, you know, to get the best out of this speaker, you can't. I mean, I use it with an iPhone. It sounds great, but actually, to get the very best out of it, you
You
can
get off
have.
with an Android.
Yeah, or a wire.
Back to
So,
that wire.
back to the wire.
And how many hours of playtime can you get
So
off
you
this
get
thing?
it's battery powered, so you charge it up, and hence you can take it anywhere. You get 8 hours of play, and
Well, that's pretty
that
good.
figure's pretty accurate, I found. It takes about 5 hours to charge it up fully, but actually you can get a good way into that charge cycle in less than that. So the list price £130. I've seen it online for 115. For which I think it's a bargain because it's actually a really nice quality piece of kit. It looks great. The design on the front, by the way, I have to tell you this, it's got this sort of beehive type design and two colors, black and rose gold. The rose gold is essentially copper color, and in the copper, it just looks fantastic.
Isn't it funny how fashions change? You know, back in the day, the bigger the hi-fi, the better, wasn't it?
Yeah,
You'd go into
yeah,
someone's house and you'd be
yeah.
like, wow, look at the size of
Yeah,
that
ghetto. Do you
stereo.
remember ghetto blasters?
Yeah, and now it's like, how tiny can we get that speaker?
But how big can the sound be? And this is a real joy because, you know, even with, say, an iPhone 7 Plus, which is meant to have, you know, good speakers, it does for a phone. It's just a world away from a device like this, and it's a joy. And you can walk around, and you can be up to 20 meters away from it on the Bluetooth, and it will still be linked reliably. I just think that sometimes the devil is in the detail with these things. You know, there are many, many Bluetooth speakers, but they are not all created equal.
Fair enough. But yeah, but definitely worth having a
Yeah,
look at
four
the
and a half
various
stars
ones
out of five.
on offer. Oh,
Nearest,
it's pretty good.
yeah, nothing gets five, so
Nothing
that's
gets five from Fevzi. 4.5, you know you're onto a winner.
yeah.
Brilliant. And you're so right, because if you play music straight off your phone, it just always sounds so tinny. It doesn't matter how good your phone is, how good the speakers are. It sounds so much better when you've got it through a proper speaker.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Also, today, as you already mentioned, Apple iPhone is 10 years old today. If you're having issues with your smartphone, be it Apple, be it an Android device, whatever, do get in touch. Fevzi here to take your calls. The number 03459 570057. Now, though, we're talking to our gadget detective. Fevzi is taking your calls. You can get in touch. The number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. This question from Mike in Guildford about a Bluetooth speaker, actually. We were just talking about them. Mike says, I get a regular infuriating bleep with mine every 10 minutes or so. It doesn't look like a battery link, so wonder if there is any other obvious problem.
It could be that there's, and again, can be one of the problems with wireless technologies. It's prone to interference. So if there's something else that's causing a sort of a radio frequency pulse, doesn't necessarily have to be Bluetooth per se, but if it bleeds into that frequency range, it can do that. We see a lot of this sort of thing. I mean, for example, on our TV sets, when we watch Freeview, a lot of people around the country have this where every now and then the screen goes blank, the sound goes off, and it goes away just for a couple of seconds and pops back on again. That is caused by interference from some of the 4G mobile phone spectrum. So, and for that, you can buy a filter to try and stop that happening. So, Mike, I think the answer to this is to try the device in different locations, not just around your home, but take it out away from, you know, where you're experiencing the problem, and let's see if the problem recurs. If it occurs everywhere, then it's unlikely to be an external interference, and it's more likely to be a fault. If, however, the problem goes away, then you're down to try and find what the heck is causing that.
Right.
And again, you know, if you've got an option to make a wired connection, that will also enable you to test it and may be a workaround for you if it is a, you know, a problem with your location.
We are championing the wire this afternoon. Yeah. Mike goes on to say, which you already mentioned actually, the iPhone 7 doesn't support Bluetooth aptX.
No.
And he says, I'm not offered the option of choosing it if I want it on the phone memory or on iCloud, but I am totally bemused on downloading iPhone apps.
It's kind of strange, you know, because, you know, you can pay something approaching £1,000 for a top-end iPhone 7 Plus, you know, if you get the fully decked-out version, and for it not to have that feature, I think it's to do with the fact that Apple likes to own the technology that it promotes, you know.
They don't want to collaborate.
Yeah, which is arguably why they removed the headphone jack from the latest iPhones, because the headphone jack is a non-proprietary connector. Anyone can connect anything to it via this jack that's done a very good job for many decades, I might add. But they've replaced it, and if you want a wired connection of sound, you have to use their proprietary Lightning connector. Yes, they provide you with an adapter, but really you can see the direction of travel. They like to own everything that they sell, and you know that's their business model, and we're free not to buy their products if we're not happy with that approach. There are some benefits to it, of course, because things tend to work better together. You know, sometimes, you know, Apple devices can be greater than the sum of its parts for that reason, because everything is designed to work together. But you lose the benefit of sometimes freedom of consumer choice.
This from Emma. She says, good afternoon from a very soggy Pevensey. How can I extend my Sky cable so I can get my hubby to move it to the opposite end of the lounge so I can rejig the lounge for a new yummy sofa?
Okay, so the Sky, yeah, I mean, that's really, if you really want to do that properly, then you call in the Sky engineers and they can do it for you.
They're going to charge you, though, aren't
they?
That's
charged for, but you don't really want to be running those cables yourself. There is an alternative. You can get HD video senders which will wirelessly send a signal, a Sky signal, any HD signal from one part of the house to another part of the house. Again, it's not ideal. It's not going to give you the same quality and reliability as a wired connection, but it's a much simpler solution, because you don't have to, you know, bring an engineer and cleat wires all the way down.
Depends
around the
house really how much Emma wants that new sofa. Maybe get rid of Sky, maybe get rid of the hubby. I just throwing out these suggestions. I mean, how good is this sofa, Emma? That's what we need to know.
Grade, that particular question. But you know, it is a problem. I always say to people, you know, you've heard me say it before, but it applies to internet, it applies to video as well. At the moment, wires are better. Plus, not only have you got less risk of interference, but there are also potential concerns about whether it's entirely healthy to have so much electromagnetic radiation bombing around your house. You know, we can't escape it, but common sense would seem to say it's a good idea to minimise it. And a TV signal would be running for hours at a time, you know, so a wired approach, I would say, bite the bullet, pay the money, get them in to do a good job and enjoy it.
Fevsy, as always, full of wisdom. If you want to get in touch, if you have a question, you can get in touch now. You can call us 03459 570057. We've only got the Gadget Detective for another 5 minutes, though, so be quick. You can also text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Oh, John has given us a call from Crawley. John, you're through to Fevsy.
Yeah, Fevsy, good afternoon.
So, hello, John.
Regarding a setup on a TV, very briefly, a new TV, one of the main brands, and I have got a satellite, effectively a dish, okay?
Yep.
Set it all up, but in the bottom right-hand corner, every time I turn it on, and I've only had it a few days, so it's a learning curve, it's telling me no signal, and it's got the sort of a warning sign.
Yep.
And it's telling me to change the input.
Yes.
But no matter what I seem to do, I just don't... Well, one, I don't understand what input, because the TV's working. What would you suggest it's looking for?
So the TV will be working because it's using an internal tuner. So it's got the Freeview circuitry built into it, and therefore as long as you've got an antenna attached, it will pick up Freeview. It's not depending on that video signal coming in from outside. But a modern television set has a number of different ways of connecting external sources of video into it. So you could have a Sky box, a DVD player, an Apple TV box, or indeed a satellite dish. So you will have a number of inputs. Most of those will be what's called HDMI inputs.
Could I just interrupt? It is a Sky dish.
Okay.
With an HD box.
Yeah, that's fine. So it will be going into best ways to go into one of the HDMI connectors. So what it's saying is, so you have to tell the TV via the remote control which of these myriad of inputs you want to show on the screen, because you may have a multiplicity of devices attached. How will it know which one to allow you to watch, to put on the screen? Right. You have to tell it, and there's usually an input button on your remote where it will cycle. So you press it one, it will give you something like input one, press it two, three, four, five, and then cycle back round to number one.
Right.
So you have to find that button, press it repeatedly until it says, oh, there's something connected to this, I will show it to you, rather than just tell you there's nothing on input number one or two or wherever you've connected it to.
Right.
So it should not be too difficult. Often the button, it depends on the brand, but often the button is a square box with an arrow pointing into it, indicating input. It does vary, it's not universal, but look for that. Or check the manual, and what you need is the input selector button.
Right.
And that will do it. That will enable you to select the correct input for your Sky box.
Because we have, from the Sky box, we have a SCART lead, and the TV only has one SCART lead, and also one HDMI cable, which is actually on number two, because it's two, three, and four, one.
Okay. So SCART is very old tech, and that's provided for compatibility reasons with the old equipment. So if you had a TV that didn't have HDMI inputs, you would have to use the SCART. But if you've got a TV, you've said it's a new TV, it will have HDMI inputs. That's a digital input that carries both the picture and the sound, and it's very good quality. So that's the one to use. Disable, just don't use a SCART at all. Make sure there's no cables plugged into it.
I hope that helps, John. Josephine calls from Farnborough. You've got a problem with your TV, Josephine.
I have. I've got a TiVo box.
Yep.
Oh, I've got the radio on. I better turn it off.
Oh, yeah, turn off the radio, Josephine. It's all right. It's all right.
I've got a TiVo box, and when I go over to use the box, I still get AV5 on the top left-hand corner, which is the which is the route I have to use from my television.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before Christmas, well, up until Christmas, this didn't appear all the time on my TiVo box, but I had someone over Christmas who was fiddling with my controls.
Oh, don't let them come again, Josephine.
I shan't.
Honestly, no, that's a ban. I'm sorry. I'm not even given a second chance for that.
Anyway, I phoned Virgin, and they say that it isn't their fault, that it's with the Sony television, but I don't know how to get rid of this thing. It's driving me poppy.
So, Josephine, the problem is the TV is no longer showing the output from the TiVo box, or that it's showing...
No, it's showing it, but it's on an AV5 control from the Sony, and that's showing up on the top left-hand corner the whole time now.
Okay, all right. So again, there is a button on your remote control that says display some ancillary information or don't. Yeah. Some people like to know what's connected and what's showing, particularly when they're setting up a system. But as you say, most of us wouldn't want that there all the time. There is simply a button that will just toggle that on and off.
Is that on my television control or the TiVo box control?
On the TV remote control, because it's the TV that's electing to tell you what channel it's currently displaying on its screen. Okay, so sometimes it's an I button, as in I for information. Unfortunately, there's no standard for all of these, and it varies even within a brand. Sometimes they change.
Which is really annoying, isn't it? Because I often think, you know, if you go to a hotel, you can never switch the TV on, or you go to someone else's house and you get up before they do, and you try and you look at the array of remote controls and you think, I don't know where to start with this. And then, of course, you get people coming to your house, Josephine, fiddling with your remote controls, messing the whole thing up.
Did you even know them, Josephine, or did they just walk in and do it? Frankly, I mean, I don't know. Just tell them they're dead to you now. It's actually easily done, to be fair. It's very easily done because you can just nudge the button and it's there.
So if she finds this information button, presses it.
Just press
it.
It's just a toggle on and off. So, yeah, press it once, comes on, press it again, disappears.
Josephine, because there'll be a lot of people wanting to know that you get your TV sorted, I want you to go now, get your remote control, see if you can find that little button with the eye on or whatever it is.
Well, I've got the remote control in my hand.
Do it now. Let's do this live.
But I can't see an I.
Right, it's got to be something on there.
It's a letter I, not a visual organ.
I appreciate
yes.
that.
Just checking.
I'm going to leave this with you, Josephine, but we're going to follow this up. I'm going to pass you back to the lovely David. We're going to keep across this. It's a developing news story this afternoon.
Right.
Will Josephine in Farnborough get a telly fix? Stay tuned to find out. Fevzy, just before you go, Ben's got in touch. Quite niche, this one. Please, could you recommend a wireless infrared camera to use in an agricultural building at lambing time? All the ones that I've seen so far are in the region of £600 plus, which seems excessive. Can you help Ben out?
Yeah, I mean, there are many brands and it's hard to be specific, although D-Link springs to mind, D-L-I-N-K. What you need is, you've mentioned it in there, is obviously it has to be infrared because it has to be able to see in the dark. You need to look at what the quoted range of that infrared camera is. That is to say, it's shining light that you can't see in the infrared spectrum, but it illuminates things in the dark. You have to make sure it's got sufficient range. Then you have to think about how that's going to be connected. Is it going to be a wired connection using an Ethernet connection, or are you going to use Wi-Fi? If you're going to use Wi-Fi, do you have the range to get from that location to wherever your router is? These are the things to consider. And you know, in terms of price, you do tend to a little bit get what you pay for in terms of the quality of the optics and the range of the infrared sensors. But, you know, those are the things to check for. The price you quoted seems rather high. I think you can do it substantially more cheaply.
Right. So you're saying look at D-Link. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we'll look at D-Link, but also just look on, well-known online retailers and look on there, do a bit of Googling. Just check for, you know, infrared, wired, wireless, and look at the range. That's the important thing. Oh, the other thing I should say, it's not just the quality of the lens, it's also the resolution. So try and get one that's full HD. So that will give you more resolution. You'll be able to see more of what's going on.
You want to see those lambs being born in high definition.
Isn't tech wonderful?
Isn't
we've got brilliant cams on lambs.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, as always, Fevzy. If people want to find out more, they can follow you on Twitter.
They can, at Gadget Detective. Come and say hello. As I always say, I have no friends, so I welcome any human contact at all, albeit via Twitter. And you can go to the website, which is gadgetdetective.com.